ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you want to know who's really responsible for Donald Trump becoming president? It's Alan Funt. Yes. He's the man who invented reality TV, kind of by bugging people.
There was something kind of pervy and boundary crossing that isn't easy to sentimentalize.
I'm Mark Fennell, and that is just one exceptionally weird individual who changed the course of history, but trust me, there are more, and you'll hear about them. Just search for No One Saw It Coming on the ABC Listen app.
Sarah, did you know that Elizabeth Bennet hasn't just taken on Lady Catherine de Bourgh? She's also fought zombies, she's investigated murders, she's been a video blogger, and she's even done a fair few Bollywood dance numbers.
She is so versatile, and that's why we're talking adaptations today. The books and TV shows and all the movies inspired by Jane Austen and her work.
And there are so many different ways that artists have reinvented Austen. There are genre swaps like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. There are modern day retellings like Sex, Lies and Sensibility by Nikki Payne. There are also fabulous horny sequels like Mr. Darcy Takes a Wife. I shouldn't confess how many times I have read that.
I have never read that, so maybe I should put it on my TBR pile.
It's a lot of fun. There are also stories about Jane Austen herself, like The Austen Girls by Lucy Worsley.
It seems like the question isn't what can you do with Austen, but what can't you do with her? Mm-hmm. She's endlessly a well of inspiration.
And there's one author who knows this very well. It's Karen Joy Fowler.
Oh, one of my favourite authors. And she published her own Austen-inspired novel, The Jane Austen Book Club. That was in 2004.
And Karen, thank you so much for being here. We are so keen to get into this with you because there are just so many spin-offs and Austen-inspired books out there.
I know. I get most of them in the mail. You know, everybody seems to want me to take a look at what they have now done with Austen. So I am very aware that this is just a stream that will never run dry. I've noticed recently that a large number of them involve Mary Bennet, that there seems to be a great need to save Mary Bennet from Jane Austen's portrait of her.
So let's just recap. Mary Bennet, the kind of middle Bennet sister, the one who's pretty uptight, plays the piano and isn't a lot of fun. So authors today, what do they want to do to Mary Bennet?
I'm only guessing, so I could be completely wrong. But I think that Austen is very hard on Mary, you know, finds her a dreadful drip. But that Mary is a reading person, and although she does not seem to bring a lot of liveliness of interpretation or to, you know, gravitate towards interesting texts, she does read. And I suspect that a lot of women reading their beloved Austen identify with that girl who reads books and is made fun of for reading books and thinks, no, you know, a better fate has to await Mary, that people have to begin to recognize her value. And so they dig in and make that happen.
I've seen some retellings where Mary is a queer character. A lot of authors seem to like that interpretation. And I'm thinking also in Curtis Sittenfeld's Eligible, I'm pretty sure Mary is a secret bowler. That's her big secret.
I don't remember that one.
Justice for Mary Bennet.
Yeah, so that's one trend, Mary Bennet as the hero. But of course, there's so much more too. As we've discussed, it seems that Austen's books are endlessly adaptable. Now, I think, Sarah Lestrange, it's something to do with her plot mechanics. Mm-hmm. The architecture of the story is very, very easy, I think, to pick up and plop into another timeline or another world.
But don't you think it's also the characters, Claire? They're so unique. They're so funny. You're happy to meet them in any context, in any world.
Yeah, absolutely. Karen Joy Fowler, why do you think authors keep coming back to these stories?
Well, that is the question, isn't it? When I was touring with the Jane Austen Book Club, that's the question I got most. It's just sort of, why Austen? What is it about her? Why? And I don't think that I've adequately been able to answer that question beyond sort of saying that she can be all things to all people. You know, when I myself read her, I went through a journey where at first it was the romance, and then it was the family relations, and then it was the wit, and then it was the sort of plight of women in that period. And so sort of whatever I was interested in at the time, there it was in Austen as well.
Okay, so it's the universality of Jane Austen that makes it so ripe for adaptation.
Sarah, do you have some favourites on the page or the screen?
So many favourites, too many favourites. But I did love the Bollywood movie Pride and Prejudice, obviously a remake of Pride and Prejudice. And this is set in India back in 2004. That feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, that played a lot in our house. And Karen Joy Fowler, in my mind, towering above almost anything else is Clueless, the 1995 film by Amy Heckerling, the one that transports the Emma story into 1990s Beverly Hills.
One of my very favorites. Just cannot be beat.
I mean, why did that work so well?
You know, one of the things that really makes Austen, you know, work in the stratosphere that she does is her humor, that she is just so very, very funny. It's to take a slight tangent here, it's always puzzled me why Mark Twain hated her so much, because he's very funny. And why did he not see that she was also very, very funny? But in any case, you know, I think what works in Clueless is the humor, that it's just a very funny movie about, a similarly privileged and a good-hearted, but often mistaken protagonist.
Yeah, so that's definitely a favourite screen adaptation for me. In fiction, I love Bridget Jones's Diary by Helen Fielding. I love Eligible by Curtis Sittenfeld. Do you have some other favourites, Karen?
I don't know if you would quite call these adaptations because they're more extensions of Austen's biography, but I do quite like Jill Hornsby's books. I think she's done two or three now. And one of them has recently been on the BBC, Miss Austen. And I think that the book is very good, but I think the television show is also very good. They focus mostly on Cassandra, Austen's sister. You know, like I think everybody else in the world, I like the five-part BBC Pride and Prejudice.
Can't be beat, I reckon, on a sick day when you think, I can do 8 hours of Pride and Prejudice today.
Yeah.
That's a good day. On The Book Show, we're celebrating 250 years of Jane Austen with me, Claire Nichols.
And me, Sarah Lestrange. And today it's all about spin-offs, the seemingly unending wave of Austen-inspired novels, TV shows and films.
And with us is Karen Joy Fowler, an Austen obsessive who did this herself. She published her novel, The Jane Austen Book Club, in 2004. There was a film adaptation in 2007. Karen, do you remember how this book started?
Oh, absolutely. I had gone to hear my friend Carter Schultz read from his, at that time, new novel, Radiance. And this took place in the Book Passage bookstore in Corte Madera, California. And I arrived a little early and was just walking around the bookstore. And there was a sign on the wall that said the Jane Austen Book Club. And because I was in a bookstore, I thought that was the title of a book. And there was just a moment where I thought, what a great idea for a book. Why don't I ever have great ideas like that? And also, I'm going to read that book instantly. Where is it? Where is it? And then I realized that it was, in fact, a Jane Austen book club, and it was not a book. And so I, at the time, actually had started writing We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves. But I thought writers go in and out of the Book Passage bookstore constantly, all of them walking by that sign. Someone else is going to see it. I need to drop everything I'm doing and write this one first before someone else does.
I would have taken down the sign.
fast forward a couple of years, and I wrote the book and I published it, and I got to give a speech at the Jane Austen Society of North America. And there was a woman in the audience who raised her hand and said, "I just want you to know I'm the person who put that sign in that bookstore."
And I bet you said a big thank you to her.
I said, "You know, see me afterwards. I think I owe you a drink." But in my heart, I was thinking, "I think I owe you a car."
So you had this title, the Jane Austen Book Club, that, yes, that lit you up. But where do you go from there? You've got the title. Where did you go next?
Well, I was living in Davis at the time. So to get to the Corte Madera bookstore, not a quick journey. And you have to pass over the Richmond Bridge, which is a fairly long bridge. And so when I left the bookstore, I knew I was going to write a book called The Jane Austen Book Club. By the time, and I knew that, you know, by the time my front tires hit the Richmond Bridge, and by the time my back tires left the Richmond Bridge, I had the whole structure of the book already in my head, that there would be six people, that the book club would meet six times, that each time they would look at a different of the six great Austen novels. Honestly, it was probably the easiest book to write of anything that I have ever written. And whenever, you know, my own imagination ran dry, I could turn to the original text and there would be something in there that I could use.
Yeah, so each meeting of the club is hosted by a different member of the group. So each chapter kind of focuses specifically on that member of the group as they're reading that novel. Were you looking for direct connections between the novel they were reading and the character that you had created?
Oh, absolutely. I hope that you can read and enjoy the Jane Austen Book Club without knowing the novels as well as I do. But I also hope that if you do know the novels well, that you will see all sorts of resonances and little hidden gifts for the Austen aficionado.
I imagine it would have been quite pleasurable, the 2 years you spent working on this novel. What was it like to be in Jane Austen's orbit for that time?
It was wonderful. I loved it. I think that it was very hard to come out of it, that her language, her sentence structures, her prose is very addictive to me. And, you know, even when I'm just reading her, never mind trying to write in a way inspired by the books, it's a couple of days at least before I can go back to the ordinary way that I speak, instead of, you know, saying to my husband something like, you know, "Thank you for making dinner. This dinner does you great credit."
That's so wonderful. We've talked about just how many Jane Austen adaptations there are out there. It doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. And I think with Austen's 250th birthday, she's even more prevalent right now. Is there a point where it all becomes too much, or can we just keep welcoming more adaptation inspiration, you know, all these different versions of the stories into the world?
I don't see why we can't. I do think, you know, the more there is, the more effort has to be put into adding your own something, so that you aren't creating just a lesser Austen novel. You know, one of the things that was sometimes said in reviews about the Jane Austen Book Club was that I was not as good a writer as Austen was. And I thought, well, duh. who imagined I thought I was? I do think, you know, we don't need people imitating Austen less well than the novels that we have and can go back to. We need people to bring imagination and originality. But as long as people are able to do that, as you said, plot structures are just very, very useful. And in fact, you know, the kind of basic Pride and Prejudice structure, where two people who will end up together dislike each other intensely at first, is just endlessly repeated in books and movies and television shows. In fact, it's a pretty firm guarantee that this couple will end up together if they loathe each other when they first meet.
It probably hasn't been very good for all of us in real life that we think that's what it takes to fall in love.
No, sometimes you have a good reason for loathing someone and you should stick to your guns.
Even if you love Pride and Prejudice. Hey, Karen Joy Fowler, this has been such a joy. Thank you so much for sharing your love of Austen with us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
So what have we learned today, Sarah Lestrange? I think if you're going to adapt an Austen novel, you can go for it, but you have to do it well.
Yeah, don't imitate. You need to bring us something new.
I guess at the end of the day, writing an Austen adaptation has to be invigorating. As Austen wrote in Mansfield Park, "Nothing ever fatigues me but doing what I do not like."
And Claire, I have liked this. I have loved this. It's been so fun talking Austen with you.
Yeah, it's been a total delight. And you can listen to all our episodes of Dear Jane with Colm Tobin, Devaney Losa, Karen Joy Fowler and more on the ABC Listen app.
So just make sure you're following The Book Show.
Happy birthday, Dear Jane.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.